What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Good Tuesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer and David Faber. Futures are steady on this first monster day of earnings. UPS, Tesla, GE, 3M, Raytheon, Google, and Microsoft tonight. Two-day Fed meeting begins. COVID deaths in the U.S. are the lowest since October. And Case-Shiller home prices up 12. Our roadmap begins with the earnings gauntlet. Tesla shares lower, UPS higher, and the FANG names are on the way.
Plus, GE shares, they are under pressure a bit this morning. The company reporting that revenue did come in short of some expectations. Free cash flow, though, was better. We'll dig into it.
Okay.
Yeah. And Wall Street's losses on Archegos, wow, now topping $10 billion. We will break down the latest prime brokers and the banks that they're part of that took another financial hit. Carl.
All right, guys, so much to unpack this morning, Jim. Kind of feels like Tesla's the lead, only because of the ongoing debate about auto revenues up 75, but ASPs were lower, the sale of the tax credits, and, of course, that Bitcoin sale.
I don't know. You know, I've been a big fan of Musk, and I think he's done a lot of things right. I think he's now he's doing something that I wish he hadn't done, which is to make projections. Basically, he's going to have the biggest car. That would be something versus, as you know, Carl, because we talk with Phil LeBeau, that would be pretty hard to do, unseating Toyota. Also, it's very easy to see that they almost had no EBITDA this quarter. And that's not talked about enough. We talk about making a lot of cars. But, David, the adjusted EBITDA, less stock and credits, is, you know, it's almost nothing.
Yeah, but that doesn't seem to be something that impacts investors' perception of the stock or the ability of the company one day to create enormous cash flows, I guess, Jim.
Well, like Sam Girard, I don't care. I expected more. Candidly,
you may not care, but it doesn't really matter if the majority of shareholders are unconcerned.
Well, that's true. A majority of shareholders were unconcerned in WorldCom, David. I mean, you know, it's just, no, I'm just saying that this was not the quarter I expected. And it's not the quarter I would go on SNL after.
And that was because of what, though, specifically? It was simply the lack of ability to generate EBITDA?
Listen,
they were dealing with a difficult supply chain challenge.
Yes,
know about the chip shortages. They had strongest numbers they've ever seen in a quarter.
They had to deliver next year because he set himself up to beat Toyota. That's what I'm, you know, I just think that you could set yourself up to beat Toyota. He's got a head as big as his car going on Saturday Night Live. He was plaintive at the beginning of his call. And I just wish that he would go back to where he was for a while, which was head to the, you know, nose to the grindstone. Why is that so bad?
Well, it's interesting to hear you be somewhat critical.
I have to be somewhat critical. This was not the blowout quarter. This was a very good quarter versus what others do. But, David, do you see the amount of money that a GM in Ford? I know he laughs at these other guys, David. I know he thinks that they're dinosaurs. But dinosaurs can rule the earth if they come back. I have to watch what Ford and GM are doing. I don't think that they're dead anymore.
Well, you're not alone. As we've pointed out many times, those stocks have actually had a very strong year over so far.
Yeah.
Up roughly both 40% each,
yes.
In part on the prospect for and the promise of delivering on their EV strategies.
Yeah, well, look, I love Tesla. I'm being critical only because I expected them to make more money, and I was surprised when he made claims. He better deliver them. Austin better deliver and Berlin better deliver.
Right. Well,
if
he says the
deliver,
Model Y.
Then my comments are too harsh.
Carl, he says Model Y is going to be the best-selling car truck of any kind in the world in 2022.
That's not, Carl, that's a hard goal.
Yep. I know we were going back and forth with Phil this morning on just how that would work. I see Goldman's taking them to 780 2860 from 780, Jim. And you're talking about, obviously, the supply chain worries, which have bedeviled the entire industry. This is what Musk said about that last night.
Q1 had some of the most difficult supply chain challenges that we've ever experienced in the life of Tesla. Insane difficulties with supply chain, with parts over the whole range of parts. Obviously, people have heard about the chip shortage. This is a huge problem.
Interesting to hear him frame it that way, Jim. A whole range of parts. It's no longer sort of the specific chips that give you, say, a digital gas monitor, for example.
Yeah, well, you know, his cars are packed with electronics, which, of course, is terrific. It makes it so that I've always said it's a technology delivering system. I've been asking executives, why does China not have a chip shortage with their cars? David, why is China kind of not sweating the program?
Well, you've told me, Jim, because I do listen to you. It's because they double ordered everything.
Right. Well, how about no way you can cut those back, huh? Give some to America?
I don't think that's going to happen.
No, and that's why we have a chip shortage. Now, I think China, I'd love to know what Elon's thinking about China and the assembly there. There was way too much time in this conference call about solar panels, Carl.
Why is that a problem?
Well, because what are you? Are you Elon Faber Musk?
No, not as far as I
was. It was
aware.
A problem because the orchestration of the call was not what I wanted. I'm used to really great calls from this man. Now, David, you think I'm splitting hairs. I don't even have any. There.
Carl, you want to weigh in here?
Carl, I was talking to you.
You're like, help. Yeah. Carl, help.
Carl, if we were on set, Jim, I would have just looked at you. You would have known.
Well, the mean people, we're going to have to get to those guys. I mean, I've declared war against them. Yeah. They're ridiculous, the mean people.
Well, Jim, two different points. One is your point about China and how they are viewing Tesla now is a big question on the street. The FT had a piece yesterday asking whether or not the negative coverage there sort of is a tipping point in the way China's championing some of their younger, their domestic players. And then this exchange last night between Portnoy and Musk about the Bitcoin sale, Jim, what was your take about that? Do they deserve to sell 10% to prove it's liquid?
I don't buy that. But the fact is that he didn't sell any himself, which I think does matter. I wasn't against anything he did Bitcoin. But I will tell you, when he called me a hologram at that dinner, the fabled dinner.
Oh, here we go. That coming back to that now.
He used the same example in the call.
He didn't say hologram.
No,
he said what were you? I'm forgetting now what the word he used. Are you as well?
I was a creature of people's vision.
Yes.
I wasn't a real person.
Yes, you weren't real.
But, David, he used that exact same example where he said that soon there will be a place where there's solar, one place, and all of America will be powered by it. Well, David, it's now 7 years.
Understood.
He also, and what's happened?
We're not there yet.
Yes, we're not there yet. We still have companies like American Electric Power, and we still have Duke, you know, I mean, like, hey.
Yeah, okay. But we are actually moving more towards that. We're moving in that direction. I understand. The man has been very good at outlining a long-term vision, getting people extraordinarily excited about it, attracting enormous amounts of capital so that he can actually try to deliver on that.
I agree with that. I agree with every one of those points.
Right.
And the cash flow, he's done.
Being a great promoter and a great entrepreneur go together oftentimes.
Look, you see this? These are numbers.
Yeah, I see.
Well, what's the direction?
I see them. No, they're not going up. They're not going up.
Well, okay.
Long term, he also says, by the way, that it's going to be an AI robotics company as much as it's a car company or an energy company.
I like that.
You do like that.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I like the future.
Well, their expertise.
I just think the Tesla to Toyota gauntlet, as Phil said, Carl, I have to agree with that. Why do that? This Saturday Night Live. Okay, so we want to have some fun.
You were a simulation. Thank you.
I was a simulation. Well,
yes, simulation.
I was a simulation.
Jim?
And fortunately, Brian Krzanich was there to comment about how it's unlikely that I was a simulation. But he does have the Brian Krzanich, the former Vince. But, Carl, he did use the same example of the giant solar field, solving the whole country's energy problems. I know he thinks I'm an idiot.
Jim,
you know he thinks I went to college.
He's
and it's
a
stupid.
CEO
who doesn't think of me.
He's
all.
A CEO who promised a million robo-taxis on the ground by this point. Obviously, he likes to overpromise.
Right.
I do want to get you sort of more broadly on the earnings picture, Jim, because S&P companies are beating by 29%. Ex-financials, they're beating by 12%. That's a lot better than the typical 5% beat that we get. And yet today, few companies either are reiterating guidance, not boosting guidance, or in the case of UPS, not giving guidance at all.
Well, I mean, 3M, disappointing. I would have thought, absolutely, let's be clear about 3M. Had they given a forecast, they had great organic growth. Because they didn't give you a forecast, they gave you the same forecast as before. Now, UPS, I have been adamant that Carol Tomei would have the quarter of a lifetime, that it would happen, that all the naysayers would have to have a real, you had to put the wood to their heads.
Mm-hmm.
But no, they kept doubting her. A lot of it's sexism, David.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay, I buy
and
that.
And today she does. Domestic business up 10% year over year. She did 700 basis point improvement here for unit cost. David, absolute margins, 10.4%. That's extraordinary.
And the market is responding as we see.
Well,
the stock
it's
is going to be up almost 9%, at least it appears to be. UPS had a great quarter.
And here's what she did. Everything she promised. But did people, Carl, pay attention when she was on Mad Money with goals? No, they sniffed. They did nothing. The stock went down because they doubted. The former CFO of Home Depot, who was kicking butt at UPS and making, they doubted, Carl. This is the opposite of Musk, okay? It's the opposite of Musk.
It is amazing. Average daily volume up 14. OpperNet 400 basis points, Jim, above estimates. There's some people asking why the analysts have been so far off the mark, at least on some of these, not just EPS, but internal margin estimates, revenue unit estimates. They've been blown away.
She put them to shame. Every one of them has to look in the mirror and say, what did I do wrong? And the male ones ought to think about exactly what happened here. David, I'm calling.
That's really interesting that you're going down that road.
I am.
Yeah, okay.
Sexism. You know, this is a man's business.
So more credibility would have been given to a
male
CEO. Had
a man said the predictions that she had on Mad Money, the numbers would have gone up. But no, they kept the numbers the same, these analysts.
Well, it's something.
Had a man made those projections.
Something to keep in mind for the future, then. There may be opportunity there.
I do. Look at Williams-Sonoma. There's a piece out of Cowen. Saying, you know, look, this is a pretty good company. Laura Alber, another one.
Lisa Su, though, do people listen or no?
The stock's been down. It's down 10%. People have forgotten because of Pat Gelsinger. People think that Lisa Su's going to miss. Now, Jensen, no one messes with Jensen. We don't know where Jensen from.
Came in a little angry today, huh?
Yeah, I am a little angry, frankly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I am
anything else you want to tell me about or share? Or is it just
I know,
was it
I
just
know why
Elon
he's
Musk?
Angry, David.
Tell me.
I think this tweet from you, Jim, sort of gave it away. You talked about Twitter, that you had blocked every person who engaged with you over a whole day. And I think in your words, how worthless has this place become? Is that a part of it?
Yeah. I mean, the only person I didn't block was someone who had a cat picture. It's all these diamond knives, whatever. You know, they just will do anything. To derail, you know, he's fire him, he's too fat. I don't like that one at all. I've been working out like a demon. You know, he's an idiot. I don't know. I went to Harvard to get stupid, and then I went to Harvard Law to get stupid. He's obviously stupid. How many times can I be called stupid before I start to, you know what? This bothers me. Even someone with thick skin has to sit there and say, you know, I'm a crook, I'm a hedge fund dupe, I am a toady. I mean, enough already. Grow up.
Well, you might want to just get off the platform. Now, I want to let you know this is a safe space for you. You know that.
Safe space.
There's nothing but love here for you.
Safe. This is a safe. There's safe text. We're not going to read things.
Right here, and also
but
even
Carl,
extending
Carl
out.
Carl identifies. I am done. I mean, I'm the guy who likes to respond to people.
You can't.
No, but if 9 million people of this Wall Street bet decide that that I hate Adam Aaron, okay, which I don't. I love him. I've known him for years. Went to Abington High, which is our rival, was from Springfield. If they all decide, David, that I have offered so many solutions for GameStop. I have offered the Bitcoin solution. I said 5,000 of these stores should be turned into places to be able to buy crypto, even Dogecoin, and then take over the ends of the dark areas of the mall and open up giant gaming facilities, and the winners get paid in Bitcoin, and no. No, they raised $550 million. Do I get any credit? No. I am a hedge fund toady and stool. I'm a stool. I'm not happy.
I understand that, but you just can't let them get you down. You just can't. You just can't.
No, you're right.
Just
I won't.
Listen,
I won't.
By the way, I can only imagine. I've said this to Jim many times, Carl. The heat that I got over that one stock, CCIV,
oh my God.
Vitriol. He deals with that every day.
I love that.
Every day.
For one day, it was okay. And then they had that picture of me nude.
What is that? He actually takes positions on things and ticks people off one way or the other. I'll give you one more chance.
Yeah.
This is GE. Not a great quarter.
They don't care about
GE. As you take a look at CCIV, which is still doing all right, obviously down from the high 50s. He says he's proud of the GE team's solid first quarter results, does Larry Culp. Industrial free cash flow, $1.7 billion improvement year over year, excluding the biopharma business, which was sold. Revenue, $17.1 billion. But aviation is still a real drag, and it's not clear where things head in power. What are your thoughts there,
mixed.
Jim?
Mixed,
right? Yeah.
You know, I think that healthcare isn't so bad.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
And that was a saving grace. I think aero is, you got to get back to travel. This, again, see, Raytheon diversified. They went into defense. I'll have to talk about that later because I got a real rap on that.
Although you were better off buying Otis and Carrier as the spins from the old UTX than anything else.
Well, Otis.
We talked about Otis yesterday.
Yeah, it's yesterday. I'm sorry I even brought it up. But, Carl, when I look at GE, I see healthcare being the bright spot. Wind is no longer bad. Wind is coming back because it's a favored way for President Biden, also because it's not expensive. But I keep coming back to aero. Carl, aero's getting to be aero's just a bad line. I mean, Honeywell.
Aviation.
Yeah. Aviation. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, aviation. Right. Honeywell was stung by it. Mm-hmm. And I thought Honeywell was going to be perfect, Carl, and I was wrong.
Yep.
You're still talking
26% down in orders, Carl. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, so the sequentially, the worries seem to be organic orders down 8, prior down 3, industrial margin 5.1, prior 6.4, right? So it's not as encouraging as we got in Q4.
No, and I tell you, I feel that GE is still a turnaround. But if we were to get back to flying, we would say, why didn't we buy GE at 13? Why didn't we buy Honeywell at 220? And Raytheon wouldn't even have to worry. But I guess we're going to take Raytheon later. I am Steve.
Now you've made that very clear. It's all going to be fine.
Carl got it.
Not to worry. We're all
diamond
good.
Hands. Oh, you children. Children. The way you make money is beating up on shorts. That's like I beat up a kid. I beat up Shelly on the way home, and my mom said I had to apologize. Mm-hmm. And I did.
Good. Jim has to deal with things, I think, David, you and I can't even imagine. We're going to get to 3M and Raytheon. A couple downgrades today of Verizon and Splunk. The tax debate, of course, continues, even as the vaccine and COVID picture in the U.S. at least is pretty encouraging with the fewest deaths yesterday since October. We're back after a break.
Hi, I'm Ben Rizzuto, wealth strategist at Janus Henderson Investors. Is a brighter future possible? At Janus Henderson, we think it is. For 90 years, we've worked to help clients achieve superior financial outcomes and fulfill our purpose of investing in a brighter future together. We know that this means our thinking and our investments are helping to shape millions of futures. At Janus Henderson, we are committed to helping you invest in a brighter future for the next 90 years and beyond. To learn more, go to janushenderson.com.
You seek the key. But first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
The earnings picture is a little crowded today. A bunch of names printing, but look at the S&P gainers pre-market. UPS will be one of the names to watch. 277 beats consensus by more than a buck. As the street comes to terms with what Carol Tomé has said, an effort to be better, not bigger. Some of the other names include FedEx as well. We'll get the opening bell in about 8 minutes.
One in eight. That's how many people have worked at a McDonald's. Who serve millions the best Big Mac and best birthday party they've ever had. Who haven't just seen kids graduate from a Happy Meal, but have gotten help graduating themselves. Because they know the skills learned here.
Bienvenidos. Welcome to English Under the Arches.
Can help you grow from here or keep growing here.
Hi, welcome to
One in eight, start at McDonald's. And where you start stays with you.
6.5 minutes before we get started with trading. Of course, even more earnings to go over. Let's get to a mad dash where you're going to deal with some of that as well.
Yes. I'm going to talk about Raytheon, which is, the base of the old United Technologies. David, they reported quarter. We've talked about how aerospace dinged Honeywell, aerospace dinged GE. Well, these guys, yes, he did sell off some good properties. I like them all. And they're going
to shareholders benefited, to be fair.
Right,
your
right.
Shareholders,
you look at it as a
you
giant
got
mosaic.
Carrier, you got
That's
Otis.
That's what you have to do.
Right.
It's why I love Ed Breen.
Right.
Okay? But this is incredible. What happened here, David, is defense is very strong. And why is defense very strong? They do the stuff that is going to stop our biggest enemy in the Cold War.
Russia. China.
Russia? What are you, 1949?
I'm living in strange
land. For heaven's sake.
I'm living in
strange. What are you,
strange
Stalin?
Land. Yeah, I'm going toe-to-toe with the Ruskies in nuclear
will
combat.
Will you stop it?
Sorry.
Okay, listen to me.
Yeah.
It's about Taiwan. And are we going to defend Taiwan? It's a lot of its space. A lot of it is anti-missile. I think there are people in the Defense Department who are worried about the existential threat of what happens if they take Taiwan. And what in the supply chain to China and the semis from Taiwan. And the Chinese, as you know, have been saying over and over again that Taiwan is a part of China.
Yes.
But now they seem to be making it so that it's going to be irrefutable. Now, David, that could be.
That would be a very bad moment.
Yes, it would. And you know what? If you're Japan and South Korea, you'd be equally as worried.
Yes.
That's next.
So
this company has what we need in order to be able to make it so that they can't attack Taiwan.
So how I learned to love, how I learned to not worry and love Raytheon.
Well, there's no fighting in the war room.
It's a good movie.
Great.
All right, we're coming back with an opening bell. Stay with us.
Watch the airlines today and a lot of the reopening names. JetBlue's one example, 148 loss is narrower than expected. Airline Jim talks about some meaningful progress as we now have 11 days of week-on-week case declines and 54% of U.S. adults with at least one shot.
Look, I think that if you're domestic, you're going to crush it next quarter. If you fly to Vegas, you're going to crush it. If you fly to Florida, you're going to crush, and that's JetBlue. Where you're not going to crush it is overseas. I booked Italy last night. I paid half of what I paid 18 months ago.
For the
last week of September.
Nice. I'm going to look into that myself. Jim, what about the reopening?
You should book them now before it goes crazy.
I'm going to look into that. What about the reopening trade overall? I mean, it ripped for a while.
Right.
And then it backed off a lot. I don't know how much it was related to the yield as well, where we were watching that go up. And these are obviously not, high growth companies typically. They were benefiting from that. But then inflation fears seem to have calmed down. The yields come back down. And now we're going back up again a little bit.
It's extraordinary that when yields come down that you wouldn't want to go buy a Procter. I'm doing a piece tonight on dividends because of the taxation on capital gains versus dividends should make those stocks more attractive. I'm betting that can happen. Okay.
Guys, there's the opening bell. NYSE and the NASDAQ, of course. We'll see how the market absorbs a flood of information and a lot more coming later on tonight, as we said, with Microsoft, Google, Visa, Starbucks, AMD, and some others.
Wow.
Jim, I did notice HSBC expects to cut office space by 20%. speaking of the reopening, and cut business travel by half, David.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, we have differing views of it, although I think we're also saying similar things when Jim and I talk about business travel and our expectations. If you have customers, you may feel an obligation to get out there if they'll let you in the building. But I also think internal travel is not going to come back to the levels it was. You're not going out 3 times a year to see everybody in Japan the way you might have previously. Maybe you'll do one trip around, maybe even not, because Zoom has proved to be a pretty effective way for people to connect. So, Jim, I think it's still very much uncertain. You do have these companies, I pointed out a few, that have banned travel, so to speak, for the remainder of this year still. Surprising that you would actually say something like that for a year that's still got so many months yet to unfold, and for obviously, thankfully, numbers that we're starting to see in terms of the decline of the virus nationwide, although unfortunately not necessarily around the world. But, you know, office space, business travel, you still got to really question what normal is going to look like.
Well, I'll tell you what normal is going to look like, okay? Normal is the stock of Otis. Because Judy Marks, if you're vaccinated, you're going to see her. And those numbers were extraordinary. Carl, the discussion is, are you vaccinated? Yeah, I'll be out there tomorrow. That's what's happening.
You really, I think there, that is happening to a certain extent. I agree. From what I hear. You know, and if your competitor is paying a visit to somebody, then you're going to feel obligated to do the same because, yeah. Or if you've lost business in some way that you can draw a conclusion, well, I lost it because they went in person.
Is Bernardin open for business?
I think so.
Then there's going to be travel.
But although, frankly, Midtown Manhattan to get back to, I mean, there's still 15 to 20% is all these buildings are having in terms of workers coming back, Jim. 15 to 20%. It's almost
people working
May.
People working from home.
Okay, so if you want to talk about businesses that rely on people coming into centers of cities.
No, that's
not
that's,
neighborhoods, which are thriving, but the centers of cities, there's nothing going on still.
Houston, Atlanta, Dallas.
Even there, I mean, the business center where people go and show up in a building.
But I think that, Carl, one of the things I think that we're missing is the country is in an oddball place. You're not supposed to ask whether people are vaccinated. Like, we don't have any paper.
Right.
I have this piece of paper that I got from Staten Island says I got Moderna. I actually need a little more than that.
Can get the Excelsior.
I know. I'm trying to get the Excelsior.
Yeah.
Do you have the Excelsior?
I haven't done it, but if I want to go to a Knick game or a Met game, it's going to be helpful. So
yeah. Well, I'm getting the Excelsior.
Yeah.
I'm tired of just like, hey, I got the Moderna. Well, that doesn't matter. What matters is you got a PCR test 5 days ago.
I got to do that too.
There's just Carl. There's really a lot of idiocy.
Well, I'll tell you. Yeah. There's. You're right, Jim. We're definitely in some chop. I noticed Washington, D.C. starting this Saturday, no appointment necessary for a vaccine at some of the city-run sites. I did notice, Jim, tomorrow, a week from tomorrow, is Cinco de Mayo. And we've talked about you opening your restaurant on that date. Is that still going to happen?
If the insurance company gives us the get-go, because everything, when you did a mothball, all your contracts ended. I'm mothballed. And so, Carl, I put in the system that we need. I think that I'm ready, but it's not in my hands. And you know why it's not in my hands? Because companies like Hartford have so much business, Carl. The insurance companies are cleaning up here. I think Chubb wanted Hartford because Hartford's going to have a monster quarter because there's so many openings going on of the small and medium-sized business. David, it's an amazing time to be in the insurance business.
That's what you learned from your interview last night with the CEO of Hartford?
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, maybe you want to ask for a tape or something.
Did he say anything about Chubb at all and the bid for the company? I think 70 was where Evan Greenberg left it off.
Well, I said that he was out to steal the company, and he said, well, you said it. He didn't say he was a diplomat. I wasn't a diplomat.
We do have his thoughts about the recovery, actually. Let's take a listen.
If I look at where we are today and where I see the future going, you can't help but be optimistic, you know, Jim. I mean, the pandemic is beginning to recede. Deaths are coming down. The vaccination process is going relatively smoothly. And it all points to a recovery, particularly in small to mid-sized businesses. That's our sweet spot.
Yeah. Restaurants popping up all over, David. The competition suddenly appeared. Like at Borrego Springs, those 3 days where all the flowers come out.
Mm-hmm.
The flowers are blooming. The competition is there. I can't believe it, Carl. There are so many restaurants and stores opening in Brooklyn. You would think that it's 1921 when a lot of places were, roaring.
Yes. Well, it's the 20s again.
It is the 20s,
it
Carl.
It is 2000.
It's just like it's to the two. Yeah. It's the roaring 2020s, and the competition is incredible. I thought they were all gone.
Jim, you're right about. Small business creation has been pretty resilient in the face of all of this. We had more than 2.1 million subway riders in New York City yesterday. That's a post-COVID high, but we definitely need more people, as David says, in city centers and taking the train. The other thing that's taking a little bit longer, Jim, than we thought is movie production, and that sort of weighed on Hasbro's results last night.
Yeah. I compare Hasbro to Mattel. Mattel, you've got a guy, Enon Kreis, who's from Mattel, who's from the entertainment, the movie business. And then you have a guy who is really from the toy business.
What, Goldner?
Brian Goldner's from the toy business. He's not from the entertainment business, but he's moved all in on entertainment.
He's been very focused on it for a long time.
Right, and Enon Kreis, David, he leaned in. He leaned into toys, to Uno, to Barbie, to relevant Barbies. He leaned in to all the stuff that is just really basic Mattel. So I think the entertainment no-go, and what mattered is, look, Hasbro's not doing badly, but Enon Kreis, do we have Mattel's stock? Do we have their, it's not bad, Hasbro.
No, it's not bad at all, and it's still almost double the market cap
of
Mattel,
like,
but it is, he's closing the gap. I mean, for a long time, of course, Mattel was far larger than Hasbro.
Right, but I just think that Enon Kreis is doing a lot of things right, and Brian's doing okay. But you're going to have him on. And I just ruined any chance of ever having on Mad Money. I didn't mean to do that because I liked him. But it's just that I think Mattel is the better horse right now.
You didn't. We got shares of Eli Lilly, down a little over 2% this morning. Revenue up 16%. Volume growth 17%. First quarter revenue as well grew 7%, excluding COVID-19 antibodies and some other things as well. Market not responding overly positive.
Well, if you exclude that, then businesses, I own it for my charitable trust. Candidly, it's been a huge disappointment. I thought that they're much more about the Alzheimer's drug. I still believe in it, but you have to start taking it very, very early. And they've not pointed out that because they don't have any tests for long term. But I actually thought that you X COVID out, it was good. It's hard to X, but if you X COVID out, it's good. And that's why I think it's not it should not be down that much. It was a miss on the top line. What are you looking at?
Looking through some of their numbers.
It was a miss on the top line.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I say a lot of it was COVID.
I know. I heard you.
Right.
I heard you.
Well,
I'm just further looking inside the earnings.
All right.
To perhaps come up with another question for you, but I can see that you want to conclude the discussion about.
Well, I just feel like we should move on because it was a disappointment. David Ricks came on the squawk, and David's got some answering to do because David came on Mad Money, and I would have thought that that all was good. And that was during the vaccine period. I'm really critical today.
You are. Let me get you back to Tesla because I'm really excited for what you got to say now. Now that we're 8 minutes into trading, Tesla shares are down about 2%, Jim.
So you look at me like it's my fault?
No.
That was
not my implication at all. In fact, I would argue it differently, which is it's more or less holding its own given the vitriol with which you met this quarter.
Well, let's watch him on Saturday Night Live. Maybe he talks about Dogecoin. Maybe he drops a little Dogecoin reference.
Something about that Saturday Night Live thing really is rubbing you the wrong way.
Well, because I want a blowout quarter before I go on Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. You need a blowout quarter. You can't dance and sing without a blowout quarter.
I think so. You really think the SNL audience really cares that he's coming in with a...
the SNL quarter is, but the...
And he cannot dance like Fred Astaire. In fact, he can barely dance at all.
Right, but he's going to be on Saturday Night Live after a quarter that was just okay.
Yeah.
And he made, he's declared war on Toyota without any even realizing it. And the call, David, we spent a lot of time talking about, panels, whatever.
And your point is, once you take into account the EV rebates, the Bitcoin gain, you don't really like the way the EBIT looks.
No. No, I don't. You see, but that's... involved that's doing homework, and I regret that I did the homework because I could have come out here and said it was a great quarter. People like Hasbro, Carl, it's okay to be disappointed when everybody loves something. It's okay.
Yes,
it's okay.
Yes, I hear you. I hear you.
I mean,
Lily. A couple other stories this morning.
I got Go ahead.
Jim, that don't involve earnings. One is a remarkable piece in the Times by Mike Isaac about how exactly Tim Cook and Mark Zuckerberg became foes. They trace it back to a conversation they had where Cook essentially told Zuckerberg that they should find a way to delete the data that they had collected under Cambridge. And Zuckerberg obviously didn't take that advice. And now it's this thing, right? Now it's a real thing with iOS and consumers opting out and sort of existential questions about the advertising model over at Facebook.
You know, Carl, a lot of times I'm reading articles. I say, OK, I got the gist of that. I read that to the last paragraph and it is a must read. And basically, Tim Cook's just saying that at the end, they're not even a competitor. I mean, wow, he is just so dismissive of Facebook. And when you ask about it, he says, look, what would you do? He says, I would never be in this place. That article is about a guy who wants your information versus a guy who's saying, you know, that you have you should have every right to deny someone your
information. Well, it's a guy whose business model is dependent on having your information.
Right.
And a company that is not nearly as dependent on that.
So what did you think?
What did I think about what?
The article.
Well, I think that these two are at each other, and it'll be very interesting to watch
they
how
are.
It resolves.
Yeah, I think that it's hammering.
We've known
Tom's.
That they're at each other. They've been at each other for a while now.
But, Carl, I read it, and I just said that, you know, look, there was obviously a good guy and a bad guy, right? I mean, unless you like to have all your information be given to Procter & Gamble, and like, wow, I'd like to sell my information to Kimberly Clark. I'm using those examples. They probably aren't the ones. But people want your information.
Right.
And Tim Cook is giving us a chance to opt out, David. In the new iOS, you know?
Yes, I do.
You know, you can't dance and sing after if you don't blow out the quarter, Dave.
You mentioned that. And Musk is no Astaire. I think we've made that clear as well.
No, he's not a triple threat. Man.
And it it extends to some other names. Triple M is the worst performing down name at the moment. Let's get to Bob Pisani this morning. Hey, Bob.
Morning, guys. Happy Tuesday. It is tough to move things forward. UPS did because they reported blowout numbers. But let's take a look at the sectors. Sort of break even on the open, even on the advanced decline line, sort of flat. You can see slightly defensive sectors here. Consumer staples were doing a little bit better at the open. Techs are on the flat side. But the story is about earnings because the reopening story is now very evident in the earnings commentary. So Vale, huge, big iron ore company, very heavy iron ore demand around the world. Prices are up. They're raising prices. BP, higher oil prices. Profits were triple a year ago. Maersk, one of the biggest shipping companies in the world, surging demand for shipping worldwide. Bottlenecks all over the place. They substantially raised their full year guidance. Sherwin-Williams, double digit sales growth for residential repainting, do-it-yourself products. This is the reopening story, evident in just the commentary, if you look at what the CEOs are saying. In terms of the board, Carl's right. It's taken a lot to move these stocks forward because there's been expectations they'll be pretty good, and they were. So Vale, for example, he put up the prices here, new high. Maersk doing okay. Sherwin-Williams hit historic high yesterday. That's not doing much. So these are very, very good numbers, but hard to move the dial forward when they're expecting that. Look at another group of stocks here. Archer Daniels Midland reporting a surging demand for grain prices, a modest move up there. 3M not doing much. They had great numbers, but they kept their full year outlook unchanged. Rather odd, given they had a nice beat. I think there's a little disappointment on the guidance there. United Parcel Service did not give guidance. Oddly enough, declined, one of the only companies to do that. But their beat by a dollar was so strong that you see we're pushing it to a new high. UPS, one of the few really moving forward just on the strength of the earnings. So where are we in earnings season? We're about a third of the way through, believe it or not. If you include everybody today, it's about 153 companies that have reported already, 88% of beat estimates. What matters is the huge number that are beating way above the estimates. A few days ago, it was 20%. It's still in the 17% range, given that you've got a third of companies reporting. Historically, they normally beat 3 to 5%. With a third of companies, they're beating by 17%. That is a testimony to how Much companies are still surprising. The analysts are still too conservative. Here's the most important thing. 60% of the companies that have reported so far are seeing their second quarter earnings estimates go up. That's what we care about. Second and third quarter. Are the estimates rising? Yes. And they're rising at a faster pace than they were in the last quarter. So the rate of change for earnings estimates is going up. That's what powers the stock market forward. Here's the other thing that powers the stock market forward. And that is very simply margins. Blended profit margins, this is for the whole S&P so far, it's at 11.6%. That's the third highest level since they began tracking margins in 2008. Remember all these concerns? Prices are going to go up. They're not going to be able to pass them on. They are so far. This is expected to hold above 11% for the rest of 2021. That is the main reason. Margins continuing to hold up and earnings estimates continuing to rise. That's why we see the S&P 500 at a new high. And guys, so far, this has turned out to be exactly the way the bulls predicted, passing on higher prices and earnings estimates rising. Goldilocks, so far, we'll keep an eye on the rest of the year. Back to you.
All right, Bob. Thank you for that. Bob Pisani. Two-day Fed meeting begins today. Today's also the anniversary 10 years ago of the very first Fed press conference. Let's get to Rick.
Yes, and I'm sure the entire world is much better off because of these Fed press conferences and the contagiousness that all the other central banks have had, basically the same type of open communication. It's always best to know what's on the central bankers' minds, even though, of course, certain issues like inflation, it's very hard to understand exactly how they're going to combat some of this temporary higher prices they expect down the road. We'll get to that in a minute. Look at a two-day of tens. We're definitely consolidating. You can see that we're building on yesterday. And if you open the chart up month to date, it just jumps right out at you. That April, pretty much, yields have been coming down. But we're starting to turn, and it isn't really that we're seeing an aggressive buying and a retracement of those 174 high closing price yields, which is currently the cycle high yield, low price. What we're really seeing is just a backing away, a taking off of the gas. It's not kind of an active retracement. It's more like a passive time out. And if you open the chart up to spring of 2013 on breakevens, which is the relationship between Treasury inflation-protected securities and nominal yields, you'll see it's at the tallest level since the spring of 2013. We'll call it 8 years. This is very important to pay attention to. And let's stick with this theme. If you look at the CRB index year to date, look at how aggressive it's been. It's at a 3.5-year high. So the Fed and Mr. Powell and company are going to say temporary, temporary, temporary when it comes to inflation. And the market looks like it's somewhat believing it. But the CRB and some commodity prices are heating up again. Listen to what Bob said. New car prices, used car prices, lumber, steel, grains. And this is only a partial reopening. The real key is when it is temporary but shows up, are people going to trade like it's temporary? Who knows what's around the next corner? Finally, a two-day of the dollar index. We're building on yesterday's lows. And by the way, yesterday's lows were the lowest intraday lows since the 3rd of March. Carl, Jim, David, back to you.
All right, Rick, thanks. Talk to you in a little while. Rick Santelli. Watch 3M today. Beat on the top and the bottom line. Organic revenues up 8. We're going to check in with Mike Roman in a CNBC exclusive later on this morning. We're back in a minute.
This change will affect taxpayers making more than $1 million a year. In 2018, 0.3% of tax filers made more than $1 million a year. So I want to start by underscoring this in simple terms. This change will only apply to 0.3% of taxpayers, which is not the top 1%. It's not even the top 0.5%.
The National Economic Council Director Brian Deese yesterday talking about the capital gains tax issue. Jim, we've got capital gains issue, we got corporate tax issue, and now we've got this pitch to give the IRS more money and authority to close the tax gap.
I think the latter is terrific. I mean, it's our duty to pay taxes, and a lot of people have skated because they don't have enough people. I'm okay with the capital gains because it is limited to the rich, and some people say the super rich. The corporate tax thing, I don't know. The corporate tax cuts produced a lot of jobs. And I have to tell you, I think that they should be kept low, David. I do.
But what about, well, we don't have time to listen to music, but that entrepreneur who's built a business over a long period of time, who has only taken a salary of $150,000 a year in part in trade-off for the significant ownership stake of said business, then sells it. And, of course, in that given year, they're going to be making more than $1 million. It's going to apply to them.
Well, they're lucky people. And if the rich are unhappy, it's their own fault. Who said it?
Who said it? Lenin.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. That's a good line.
We're going through all the classics today. Simulation, Lenin, Jim. By the way, tomorrow is going to be an amazing Squawk on the Street. The CEOs are going to join us from Boeing, from Spotify, from AMD, from Starbucks. That's all tomorrow. Make sure you join us for that. Squawk on the Street is back after a quick break. Jim, we went a bit long this morning, but what's on Mad tonight?
Well, look, we have a Centino tonight. Stock's down. Even though the revenue forecast was boosted, and this is Michael Miller. But I want to find out what's going on because UNH was up a lot. And also, I think that this is a very good sector. And I'm sorry if I was so angry, Carl. I'm going to go take some Xanax, and I'll be a better boy.
What I like is that our viewers understand. And they told me to tell you that you're very good.
Well, thank
what you. Do.
Thank
we'll see you tonight.
Good Jimmy to the moon.
Mad Money tonight, 6 p.m.
You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.